I was born bold.
Melbourne Airport Parking. We're here to get you there. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great of you to be with us this morning on this Thursday, the 26th of March. I've just got the wisp. I'm watching him. He's just had his coffee home delivered, if you don't mind. He's crying poor there earlier in the morning. Reckons he's got no love. Hand-delivered coffee. We've got the Field Marshal, Sam Edmund, to join us very shortly. Then the adventures of Whippy Watson. Then the Supercars boss, Sean Seamer, to explain E-Series. What's that all about? And the Melbourne defender, Jakey Lever, is going to join us. Before Sammy, introduce Sammy, North Road is closed westbound between the Princess Highway and Clayton Road due to a police incident. Use Centre Road or Ferntree Gully Road as alternatives. Eastbound lanes are open, allow extra time. So we had a message about that earlier today as well, so be a little bit careful. If you don't mind, thanks to Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty, it's our senior sports reporter, Sammy Evan. G'day, Fieldy.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Tim. Tim, how do I get that coffee over here? Does this mobile coffee cart get on the road into the inner west? Where are we?
I don't know that they service that far, Sammy. I'm sorry, but I'm sure you'll find somebody in your neck of the woods. My delivery person won't go that far.
I'm 8 k's out of town, Wisp. I'm pretty close.
You go to McCafe, okay? You just drop into McCafe.
Okay.
Hey, Sammy, the only real talking point at the moment is this pay dispute.
Yeah, well, it is, and it carries on. But a massive show of goodwill yesterday, Gary and Tim, might be the circuit breaker, at least potentially. And it came from the AFL boss himself, Gillon McLachlan. He offered to match the pay cuts taken by the players. Now, McLachlan told AFLPA Chief Executive Paul Marsh he would sacrifice the same amount of cash as the players, and I think critically, over the same period as well. So the two parties have struggled to reach a common ground, but McLachlan and Marsh remain in frequent contact over the phone yesterday before this offer came from Gill. So we know that the players have offered to take a 50% cut for the next 2 months, which basically, to put it mildly, stunned the AFL as it battles to limit the losses during this coronavirus shutdown. Now, the AFL countered and said, nah, we want you guys to take a 79% pay cut, which obviously prompted Patrick Dangerfield, the AFLPA president, to demand the league give the players greater clarity around the finances of the game. The players have raised concerns primarily about what they would be paid if AFL games are played after their current contracts expire at the end of October, whether we have a shortened season, when games will be played and how frequently. That's all clouded talks. Now, some people would say no one has the answer at this point, so we simply can't give you clarity at a time of great uncertainty. The AFL executive as well, guys, they'd initially agreed to a 20% pay cut. It's understood that despite that being an indefinite arrangement, that sacrifice is also likely to grow because the game needs to satisfy the banks for that monster line of credit worth upwards of $500-600 million. The 12-person board at last check had an average salary of around $900,000 each. So last night, McLachlan's gesture is said to have gained the immediate respect of the AFLPA player delegates. Sources at AFL headquarters, guys, say Gill's working around 20 hours a day at the moment, 7 days a week, as you would probably expect, to try and save the game. His salary, mind you, was last disclosed around 3 years ago, $1.74 million.
Okay, so why have we settled on the 79%? Why has that become sort of like the magical figure?
It is a random figure, isn't it? But it's not the only factor at play. There's a number of other things in the mix here, Gary. Funding from the AFL, revenue from, projected figures, the 28%, the 11% from club additional revenue, all those things are being thrashed out. How it's actually landed on 79% in raw terms, I'm not sure of at the moment, but it's only a small piece of the negotiation in many ways.
Well, and these are the things we alluded to yesterday, is that, and I listened to Patrick and I understand that people want to belt him and slam him, but what are you saying is effectively the things we discussed yesterday, they need to be, to have some sort of clarity. I know you're not going to get clarity on everything, but to have some sort of a clarity on all of those decisions and, the monies that are coming in. And what if, and this wouldn't happen, but what if Channel Whisp turned around and said, we're going to pay still this much money? Then the AFL the players need to know that, and then they can cater their sort of demand around, or not demand, but their negotiation around that. So the thing I loved about well, the one thing I took out of Paddy's interview with Jared was judge us at the end of this process and not the start. While people are jumping around and calling for end of seasons and, you know, Lee Matthews being so hard, I just think these players, they're footy players first. They've got to try and deal with this. Judge them at the end of it all. I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
I'm not sure how much of a negotiation it is in many ways either. I mean, while the two parties are thrashing it out at the moment, I mean, I'm no accountant, guys, but I would have imagined the banks would be looking for real evidence that the game is doing its best to get itself under control so that the banks are comfortable giving them a line of credit of $500 million. So, I mean, maybe the numbers are going to be what the numbers have to be as dictated to by the banks.
Yeah, and that's the information that needs to be relayed to the players. They need to know what the how the negotiation went with the banks, and then they can go and set about what their next step's going to be.
Footy Classified last night, boys. Now, we know the strong word from the AFL is they're determined to protect all 18 teams, the AFLW competition as well, and obviously the game, the men's competition itself. But Ross Lyon suggesting last night the expansion clubs, and he mentioned Gold Coast, but assumed he wanted GWS in this as well, should be put in hibernation, and the focus instead, when the competition resumes, whenever that might be, should be on blockbuster games with blockbuster clubs drawing big attendances and big TV ratings, at least initially, to resuscitate the game. Before I get your thoughts on this, here's Lyon on Footy Classified.
The blockbuster teams, the big clubs, draw it in and really fund the game. So if we look at the expansion teams, and I admire what it's been done, Gold Coast, GWS, but I think it might be, if we just drill into Gold Coast, are they, for what we've pumped in, are we getting return on investment there? And foundation clubs may be missing out and under real pressure now.
Now, guys, clearly everything is up in the air, as they say, and all bets are off. But are we going too far if we're putting teams into hibernation, or could you see it being a necessary evil?
Well, it's a bit far for me, but I like the fact that he's throwing stuff out there. Rossi, he's having a crack and he's thinking laterally, and I think you've made this enormous investment. If you go into hibernation, you might not get it back. Or if you do try and bring it back, then you're going to have to start from scratch again. So I'm not sure that's where I'd be going. But all of these different lateral thoughts are all appreciated, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind looking into, we'll have a talk about this. I know Nick Riewoldt raised it earlier this week. I think private ownership. Could you ever see the day where private ownership maybe came back in to protect some of these clubs going forward? Yep. under a different model? A lot of people saying that the model the AFL has at the moment just isn't up to it, despite the fact this is a completely and utterly unprecedented global event.
Fieldy, on that topic, I heard that discussed even before we had the coronavirus about the possibility of GWS and even the Gold Coast Suns going down that track of private ownership. So there may be further discussions along those lines. If you were to go out there now and offer to buy one of those teams, though, you're getting it at a bargain basement price, though, aren't you?
Yep, absolutely. Well, we know GWS have a link, those American bond traders from PIMCO, of course, who the mystery, one of them nicknamed the Bond Prince, they've fallen in love with the game in GWS. They invest their money quietly there, but they come out to the grand final every year. I just wonder, you could draw up a list of every club who would try to take ownership. You reckon Jeannie Pratt could buy Carlton in 5 minutes?
Did we have that situation with an A-League team over in Perth most recently? Was that the last one that was looking down that path? And that just got all sorts of messy. It may not have been an A-League team, but there was a private bid from a Perth business.
Yeah, I think it might have been some guy that was involved in cryptocurrency or something like that might not have gone in the right direction. But this obviously is happening. It happens in the States, you know, you talk about that. But the reason why those franchises became so valuable is because the TV rights money went up so dramatically. NBA teams went from being worth sort of like in the 200 millions to being worth in the billions of dollars in a space of 5 years. We just don't have the population to be able to support that as an investment that's going to return you that sort of money.
Yeah, West Coast and Fremantle, they're 100% owned by the West Australian Football Commission as well. Now, the West Coast members, I don't even think they elect a single director. So, and Fremantle maybe just a couple on their board. So it works differently over in WA.
you get some pickle owners. I know that. There's some owners of world sports that we look at and go, my Lord, how did you make your money and fancy having you in charge of my footy club? I'm not sure that's where I'd be going. Hey, what did Caroline Wilson have a go at Jack Riewoldt? Did she fire back at him last night?
She did. She did, Gaz. Now, she accused Jack of living in a bubble, all players really, of living in their own little bubbles. Let's have a listen. This is Caroline Wilson on Footy Classified.
This arrow was directed at whoever it was at the Players Association who advised AFL footballers to use their participation in that bushfire relief game as a selfless act, please. Sure, it was a great event and a lot of players gave up their time, as many did, to raise money for a critical cause. But Jack, and it pains me to say this, you are my favourite player, but bodies on the line. This was a fun, bruise-free kick and giggle. And I would have thought to do so much good at a critical time was a privilege and a gift. And whoever it is, if you actually believe that what you did was a sacrificial act, then you live in a bigger bubble than I thought.
There you go, boys. I tell you, we always said it was a difficult PR war for the players. It's a slippery slope, isn't it, when they go public to state their case?
Judge them at the end of the process.
Yes.
Is my call on this, Fieldy. Well done to you. Very nice work. We'll hear you throughout the day on the radio station. You're doing a fantastic job. Just, how's everything at home, by the way? You've got a good little setup there?
Yeah, we're going well. It's just getting cold in the morning, isn't it? Might have to get this oil heater sorted out here, boys.
Oh, you poor thing. You heard of the jumper? You heard of the jumper, Fieldy?
I've got them on, but as you know, Tim, I don't have a lot of body tissue, so I might need to put another layer on.
All right, we'll put some all-day socks, some underworks. You'll be right, and a big day ahead for you. Now, we need to announce this before we go to a break and have our third edition of The Adventures of Whippy Watson. Today at 10 o'clock, Must Listen Radio, Jared Waitley, our main man, is going to be hosting a forum with AFL senior coaches, Chris Scott, Chris Fagan, Leon Cameron, Matthew Nix, John Warsfold. For 1 hour, they will chat at length about the impact of coronavirus on footy and the community. So is it one coach each day?
I think it's one coach each day is going to join Jared, yeah.
So he's going through all five coaches today. There you go. So Chris Scott, Chris Fagan, Leon Cameron, Matty Nix and John Warsfold. So they're all going to be on Jared's program today. He'll spend an hour talking about how they see it, the impact on the community and some of the challenges. That is going to be fantastic radio. So 10 o'clock today. You ready to roll, Whispers?
Absolutely. Ready to go.
Melbourne Airport Parking. We're here to get you there. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. The Adventures of Whippy Watson next.